You might remember back in January, I spoke to Kirsty Morfitt MLC, who was calling on Tynwald to prioritise homelessness legislation, given that it had been 2 years since a strategy was first passed in the court. She wanted it to be developed and introduced to the branches by June next year. Well, the Cabinet Office now says it can do better than that, bringing it forward by March. I got her reaction to the news.
Yep, so hi, I'm Kirsty Morfitt. I'm a member of the Legislative Council with currently political member for Department of Home Affairs and Department of Infrastructure.
Perfect. So no small jobs there.
And also the vice chair of the Isle of Man Post Office. So
yeah. Okay, yeah, perfect. Okay, so talking today then about homelessness prevention, and we chatted about this back in, I think it was January time this year, as there was a consultation running. Now the results of that consultation, or at least kind of a report summing them up, is out. I suppose, first of all, have you read through it, and what's your sort of response to those responses? Were you surprised by them, or did they kind of, were you like, yes, it backs up what I've been saying here? Like, what was your response to that?
Yeah, so firstly, I'd like to again thank the department, so the Minister, Minister Ashford, but also the staff working there, a particular gentleman by the name of Mr. Queenan, have kept me involved every step of the way, because obviously this is an area of policy that I'm passionate about. So yeah, I've read the document and I'm very grateful again to the department for getting all of this information out before the end of this administration, that they've taken notice of the concerns about the urgency and they have prioritised this as work that needs doing, and I do appreciate that. The responses to the consultation on the whole were to be expected, and I'm grateful that people took the consultation seriously and put thought into some of their answers. There was only a response of 145, which for a population of our size and an issue that I feel is as important as this, and as I said last time, is life-changing. Mm. I think that's quite disappointing, as many other issues seem to get a lot more notice. Mm. But the consultation, the people that did respond gave time to it, and I really do appreciate that. So on the whole, as within the document and the motion that's being put forward, there are many areas that I generally agree with. As I talked about last time, the need for clear accountability and somebody having a responsibility. So one of the recommendations is that there's a designated central government provider. Mm. So, and that was largely agreed with. And that also talks about it not being local government responsibilities. Mm. In the UK, where the local governments are much larger and funded very differently to here, they are still significantly struggling with that responsibility. So for it to be a central government responsibility is great, and it also means that if it's central government, they have greater power to address the issues that cut across different departments, whereas individual local authorities would be very isolated, dealing with some complex issues. The eligibility concerns that were raised during the consultation didn't surprise me. That's something that's often discussed in social media, and so I think the eligibility criteria that was mainly discussed was in line with the current social security eligibility criteria and social care, which is resident for 5 years. So I don't think that's going to cause any issues. The one thing that I did have concern about and will continue to have concern about is the intentionality clause that in the UK was used as a way of kind of putting a structural gate in front of services. And so if you were assessed as making yourself intentionally homeless, you weren't eligible for any support. Now, that's been challenged now in a number of serious case reviews and unfortunately inquests and serious case reviews. And intentionality now in the UK is much more of a discretionary assessment. And I think that's what's come out of this consultation, which I agree more with. I like the Welsh regulations, which specify specific categories that can't be assessed as intentionally homeless: 16 and 17 year olds, pregnant women, domestic abuse victims, the elderly, people with specific vulnerabilities. So I like that. But obviously this is still a very early stage. We've just had the initial consultation on the policy, and that's what's going to be voted on in Tynwald. So yeah, it's, that's brilliant. And the other thing that was really good is the duty to cooperate, because as I said in the first one, if people don't work together, Michael Preston Shute, who is a practitioner that does a lot of work around homelessness in the UK, and he talks about the importance of having a team around the person rather than the person going around the teams. And so having a duty to cooperate, that more multi-agency joined up thinking, I think can only be a good thing. So yeah, really, really pleased.
Good. I mean, there's loads to jump in there on there with. I mean, I suppose the first thing I sort of jotted down was, obviously we've got an upcoming general election, so a change of administration. You mentioned there that, you know, they've done the legwork here to get this through so that we've got this framework now in this administration. Obviously we'll have a changeover of MHKs in September, but yourselves, it's a different cycle, so you're going to see this through. Are you hopeful that having a framework in place like this, hopefully ahead of time agreed in Tynwald, that then when these new MHKs come in, this is something they can pick up and run with in a way? You're hopeful it'll carry on with momentum?
Well, the department's been very sensible with this. They got the consultation out as early as they possibly could, and it was a broad consultation on the policy principles of the legislation, which will then enable the staff in the department to continue working during that period of the changeover of administration, rather than everything stagnating for a period of months. So the hope is that when the new administration comes in, there will be bones of a piece of legislation that can be picked up, looked at and moved forward as quickly as possible without having to start from scratch again, which often happens with the change of administration, which is very frustrating for the staff that put hours and weeks of work into it. So yeah, that's the hope. And bringing that motion for the policy principles for the legislation to Tynwald gives the staff a clear backing to enable them to do the job that they're paid for and that they want to do. So yeah, they've been very sensible.
Yeah, and you'd hope this isn't like a sort of controversial piece of legislation, this is something they'll want to run with when it's a new administration. And then obviously the idea being as well that the council of ministers, if this is received in Tynwald, will consult on a draft of a bill by the end of March 2027. So I mean, that what's that timeline look for you? Are you happy with March? What's your reaction
over
to that?
I'm over the moon. When I did my motion in January, I asked advice and was told that June 27 would be pushing it, but I pushed it and went for June 27. So if they are able to consult on a draft on the bill by March 27, I can only applaud them, because that is a lot of work, not just the department, but also the drafters. So yeah, again, I'm really, really happy, and I can, and again, grateful to all the people that have worked on that. You've got to remember that this was originally voted for in 2019 and had very little movement. And my motion was to bring it forward from 2029 to June 2027. So they've worked amazingly hard. And yeah, I think it just shows the depth of feeling for this issue, really.
And so as well, a couple of the other things you mentioned, which is interesting, is the idea that it will be overseen by central government as well. I mean, and you mentioned like the comparisons between our local authorities and kind of local authorities in the UK, obviously very different size scale, almost like our actual central government could be comparable to, you know, a little council somewhere in the UK. So obviously that would make sense. But you hoping then it, having that centralised, you mentioned as well, joined up thinking, the fact that if there's a department in charge of this, then we'll see all the different agencies like regulated through that department to be dealing with this issue.
The hope is with safeguarding, that's how it's worked. Everybody's had a duty to cooperate, so you can't say that's not my job just because it for example, a person might be homeless, and with the homeless team, whatever that may look like, it doesn't mean that the mental health service can say, right, that's not my job anymore. Mm. The homelessness team's doing it. It will hopefully mean that there will be some coordination of all of the different services and support that somebody needs. Because the problem we have, and this is true in many social care and health services, is we allow things to get to crisis point, mm. and we deal with that crisis, and then we all walk away, and we allow it then to get to crisis again, and you get these cycles. So you get cycles within mental health, you get cycles within substance use, and you get cycles within homelessness. So you will get somebody somewhere to live, but if you don't do all the other work around there, maybe they need some help managing their finances, understanding how to do that, budgeting, shopping, cooking. I mean, they're very basics that could be done very easily, that enable people to live independently and maintain a tenancy and get some stability so that, they can then start taking the small steps they need to be who they want to be. And that's, if you continue going from crisis to crisis, it's more expensive. It's like, it's almost like a, you know, when the water goes down a plug and the circle gets smaller and smaller. Yeah. It's just, that's what happens. And these are people that we're talking about. So my hope is that if the services work together and we can reduce the silo thinking, and we can put, again, the person in the centre and put that team around that person, even if that team is from different departments. So you might have the GP, you might have the district nurse, you might have a social worker, you might have an occupational therapist, and they go to that person, then hopefully we can support them in maintaining that tenancy. And that's the prevention aspect of the legislation that's really necessary as well.
I think it's like, it's really encouraging, and it'll come across to listeners as well, how enthusiastic you are about like the results of this. This is a positive thing. I mean, how are you feeling about, obviously you've brought in all your wealth of experience as a social worker as well. I remember when we spoke in January, you had like a case that you, you know, we talked about that, you know, you didn't want someone to be failed, like he'd been kind of overall failed. And I mean, are you encouraged that, like the voice of your profession is cutting through here, and like your experience and what people are seeing day to day on the ground in the Isle of Man is actually cutting through a little bit and is going to help shape this?
I'm trying to ensure that when those voices need hearing, I stand up and speak. That's difficult in such a formal environment. And I try not to waste Tim Wald's time either and just stand up for the sake of speaking. I try to speak to explain my reasoning behind my voting and to put the person behind the decisions. Sometimes it's very easy to sit with a piece of legislation or a policy and not realise how that's going to impact people. Just in the last Tim Wald, we were discussing the health and social care funding. And I don't, unless you've had personal experience and then you think it's just a one-off, but it's not. So I feel I have a duty to bring those experiences forward. What people do with those experiences is then up to them, and that's what a democracy is, isn't it? But I do take that duty very seriously to bring those voices forward.
I mean, the overall response then is that this is good. This is coming through in March. It's going to get picked up again, hopefully by the next administration without any problems and stuff. So in terms of a timeline, have you been given any indication for when we'll actually see some steps in place then down the line?
No, and that depends very much on the new administration, the new minister for the department, the new council of ministers, what their priorities are, which is why this administration in this case have been very forward thinking, because the more work that's been done, the less likely it is to be backbenched, or even if it's backbenched for a short period of time, it's easily picked up again. And obviously I will be chasing it through the next administration as well. So yeah, but hopefully, again, because the department have worked so hard and sensibly, hopefully it will go according to their plan.
MLC Kirsty Morfitt there. Now, obviously, between now and March, the Isle of Man will hold a general election, which could leave us with a very different House of Keys and a very different Council of Ministers. So does the current Cabinet Office Minister, David Ashford, have faith that this legislation won't be left by the wayside?
Yep, so David Ashford, Minister for the Cabinet Office.
Perfect. And so at Tynwald this month, you're going to bring forward some consultation responses and a framework for an Isle of Man Homelessness Prevention and Support Act. Could you sort of just run me through, I suppose, what that framework looks like, what the goals are, and I suppose maybe what some of those consultation results look like as well?
So the purpose of this was to go out and speak to the community about homelessness. Homelessness is one of those things that isn't really always in front of us, but it does exist on the island. We are very lucky in the fact that most of our homelessness is not what you see in the UK, where there's people out in the streets at night. Most of our homelessness is what would be described as hidden homelessness, where people are couch surfing or staying with friends or relatives and moving around, but they've got no consistency. They've got no sort of home they can call their own. So it's more of a hidden homelessness over here. The point of the framework is to ensure that we've got things in place to be able to help and support those people, and also to give a legislative footing to homelessness. It's quite astonishing, really, that this is the first administration in Manx history that has actually brought forward a homelessness pathway for people, that has recognised the problem and actually decided that we're going to deal with it. And the consultation was very much around getting the views of the community and of those who are homeless themselves on what we should be doing to tackle this issue and what would have the greatest effect for them.
And you said, obviously, that our type of homelessness is that kind of hidden homelessness. Do you have any indication on how many people we're dealing with, or is that so difficult because it's not like the UK where you see them on the streets?
It is difficult because I don't think you ever, even if you did, you know, studies in the UK or other countries, I don't think you'll ever get to a true number, because there will be people who won't wish to engage with services. We know since the homelessness pathway has been in place that it's been very well used. We've got to remember, people become homeless for various reasons. So it's not just individuals, it can be families as well. So this can involve children needing accommodation. There's a multitude of reasons and factors behind that. So it's not as simple as just being able to do a head count. And some people may only need temporary support. Some people may need longer term support. There's various different factors at play, and it's very much the whole thing of this framework is making sure that it isn't a one size fits all, because that doesn't work.
And I know that there's a request here as well for the Council of Ministers to consult on a draft of a bill by the end of March 2027. When I spoke to Kirsty Morfitt, MLC, who obviously brought forward a motion back in January when this consultation was ongoing as well, she was really positive about that, because obviously her initial aim in that motion was for July next year. So are you feeling positive that we will be able to draft on a bill and bring it forward by March next year?
Yes, we've been working on it, and we're keen to ensure that deadline's there. We wouldn't have put the deadline in if we didn't feel it was achievable. Kirsty's motion, of course, said July, but what we want to be able to do is to be able to get the draft bill in March. Then, of course, there'd have to be consultation on the bill and then get the bill into the branches, because it is important that there's some legal framework around this. And that has been recognised for a while. It's been recognised since I brought the homelessness strategy to Tynwald back in 2023. And I think there has been a real push by Tynwald to ensure that this actually doesn't drop off the agenda. And Kirsty's been fundamental to that. And it's been welcome, her engagement with Cabinet Office and the wider team across government in trying to tackle this issue.
And again, another thing we discussed is, obviously, in the meantime, we obviously have a general election coming up. So presumably, in some ways, a change of an administration somewhere in terms of MHKs. But are you confident then, because all this work is going on, you know, within the department, that it can just carry on and be handed along to the next, you know, class of MHKs, and that March deadline and all this work will carry on sort of, you know, uninterrupted, really, I suppose?
Well, I can be as confident as I can be. I mean, come October, I may not be Cabinet Office Minister, you know, I may not be around. So you can't really bind your successors. But I think the important thing is, this is a piece of work that I think any logical person would realise needs to be done. I think it would be a very brave person coming out of a general election who turned around and said homelessness wasn't important. It is a very, very clearly important topic. And I think that what we'll have is a piece of work that the next administration can just pick up and run with. And that's what we need to be doing now, is actually ensuring it's in such a place that the new administration isn't having to go through actually analysing and pulling everything together. That work's been done with it. They just need to progress and move forward.
Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford there. Now, Tim Wald will today be asked to receive the Review of Consultation Responses, a framework for an Isle of Man Homelessness Prevention and Support Act, and will be asked to request that the Council of Ministers consult on a draft of a bill by the end of March 2027. After that, we'll wait to see what happens next.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.